Okay, let me bid you welcome again. It's already been done, but let me say it again because we say it so sincerely, but I know we say it often. It's just good to get together. So we appreciate your desire to be with us today in a congregation time of worship and praise to God. I know we have some guests with us, so I kind of asked my brethren to look around, and someone may have not received a bulletin this morning. There is an outline in the bulletin. You're very welcome to follow along as I go through the lesson this morning. One of my favorite stories, I know I've told it before, but I think I'd like to hear it again. the young boy said to Mom, I like it when Brian has an outline. And she said, why? So you can follow along with his lesson. And he says, no, so I can see how close he is to finishing. So there is a blessing to an outline.
Amen.
You see how close I am to the conclusion. So, the title of the lesson this morning is Mary, the birth mother of Jesus. Very unfortunate that a religious controversy has centered itself around the life of this wonderful woman. Her name is Mary, and her being the mother of Jesus was foretold in prophecy. Isaiah 7, verse 14 says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive, bear a son, shall call his name Emmanuel. The controversy surrounding this woman, it's a result of religious groups lifting her up to a position of reverence or an object of worship. And that's a position that in my study, I conclude that the Bible does not support. There are seven occasions where Mary is found in Scripture. Seven. Number one, we read about her in the scripture that was just read to us this morning when she is betrothed to Joseph. In the scripture that was read to us in Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 26, we have the angel Gabriel. An angel is sent by God in fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. And he appears to Mary to reveal to Mary that she is God's chosen woman to be the birth mother of Jesus, who is the Son of God. Mary, wishing to share that blessed event, goes to the home of Zechariah and Elizabeth. Zechariah and Elizabeth will soon become the parents of John the Baptist. That also fulfills prophecy. Elizabeth is the cousin of Mary. While at the home of Zechariah and Elizabeth, Mary expresses her joy of having been chosen by God to be the birth mother of Jesus. And in verse 46, she says, my soul does praise the Lord. The story is also told in Matthew chapter 1. I want to read Matthew's account of this. In Matthew chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But when he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto you Mary, thy wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now when all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. He knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Joseph and Mary were, the Bible uses the expression, betrothed. Or they were, we might say they were engaged to be married. Although they had not come together yet as husband and wife, that relationship was so legal that Joseph could have given her a writ of divorcement. However, the angel comes and reveals to Joseph that God has a hand in this event, and he does not put her away, but rather takes her unto himself. Then Mary gives birth to Jesus. See, Jesus is a heavenly child with an earthly mother. He's an earthly child with a heavenly father. This is the first picture we have of Mary in Scripture. A second time that Mary appears is in Luke, the mothering Mary, in Luke chapter 2, verse 7. It begins, she brought forth her firstborn son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. We remember that story. It's interesting, though, as the story continues, when Luke records in Luke chapter 2, verse 7, Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. What things? I wonder what Mary thought about. If I was there, Mary, what's on your mind? What do you think about the events that had just taken place? And perhaps that's what she's pondering. She may have thought, I've been thinking to herself, about the, what is just taking place. I remember the angel's announcement to me. I remember going to the home of Zacharias and Elizabeth. I remember the song of praise. I remember Joseph staying with me. I remember the manger scene. I remember the shepherds, the wise men. I remember the gifts they brought. I remember naming my son. Seems like when you think about this, Mary was keeping what I like to call a mental baby book. Don't you as moms and dads do that? When that baby comes, haven't somebody already given you a baby book, or you go out and hurry and get one? And what do you do with that baby book? You record the events. Well, Mary was having a mental baby book experience. She was pondering the birth of Jesus and the events surrounding it in her mind. There was a lot to say, but Mary was keeping a lot in her heart, too. She was a mothering Mary. Mothers do that. Number three, see, Mary is pictured as a reproving parent. I think mothers do that, too. The story that you're familiar with, Joseph and Mary are returning with a group. They're returning home after being in Jerusalem for the Passover. On their return trip home, they supposed that Jesus was with them, but he wasn't. When Joseph and Mary find out that Jesus is not with us, they do what every parent does with a missing child. They begin the search. Because they didn't find Jesus among the troops that were with them, they make a day's journey back to Jerusalem to find him. In verse 46 of Luke after 3 days. Why? I'm building up a lot of worry after 3 hours. But after 3 days, they found him. Said he was in the temple. In verse 48, said when they saw him, they beat the dickens out of him. No, no, they didn't. No, Mom, don't do that, I don't think. But they saw him in the temple. Said they were amazed. That's right, now this is a sight that was, you know, unusual. They see Jesus in the temple. But then his mother said to him, son, when my mother called me, she called me by my name too, not, you know, Brian Gay, get over here. Distinguish me from my other brothers. Even though they had different names. Brian Gay, I knew for the voice. I had to come front and center. She said, son, why have you dealt with us? Behold, your father and I have sought you sorrowing. So as a mother, in this event in her life, this experience, she felt the anxiety when he was missing, but also felt relief that he was found. She still had to give him a general rebuke. Said in verse 40, you know, she said, you know, what have you done? You know how much hurt you've caused us? How much anguish? You know how far along that trip was that we came back on? You know how much time we're losing on the journey? I don't know what all she said. I just know how much my mom would have said. Then came the reply that would characterize Jesus' life. He's in verse 49. Jesus said to them, Joseph and Mary, how is it that you sought me? Know ye not that I must be about my father's business? They understood, the verse continues, they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. I don't understand, son, in that dialogue. That was a foretaste of what would come. That was just a prelude. But Jesus was preparing them for events that would come later when he would begin his public ministry. But then it says in verse 51, Jesus went down with them, continues his journey with them back home. He went with them, came to Nazareth, and was subject to them. So it was too early to begin his public ministry. However, in a sense, he already did, preparing people for what would happen years later. And then there's, interesting, a repeated description of Mary in verse 51 of Luke chapter 2. His mother kept all these sayings in her heart. I guess mothers do that. Mothers do that. There's some precious moments, perhaps, that mothers just kind of hold dear, that they don't necessarily share, perhaps. They just keep them in their heart. And in verse 52, it says, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. The next time we see Mary, it's after the baptism of Jesus, her son, and by John the Baptist, and he's begun his public ministry. Familiar story in John chapter 2. Mary, Jesus, and the disciples attend a wedding feast in Cana of Galilee. Another side of Mary is revealed. In verse 3, you know the story, they run out of wine. Verse 3 says, when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, meaning Jesus, I have no wine. Perhaps she knows Jesus has the power to fix that situation. Perhaps she's prodding him to say, Jesus, show yourself. You know, do something, son. Why not now? She might be saying, you know, in my estimation, this is what you should be doing, Jesus. But Jesus this time gives his mother a gentle rebuke. In verse 4, he says, woman. That's not a bad title. In Scripture, when he just refers to a woman, doesn't say mom or mother. He's just saying, like we would say, ma'am. This woman, what have I to do with you? He's taking the emphasis away from Mary. Because in just a moment, he is going to change water into wine. He said, I'm doing this not because, mom, you told me to. But this is the introduction of my ministry. And so we find within the hour, Jesus does change the water into wine. In verse 11, it says, this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory. Jesus does this not because mom prodded him, but because he wants to manifest his glory by God's design. And then the next phrase is, and his disciples believed on him. From this time on, Mary decreases. Jesus increases. As it was with John the Baptist, Mary's work is ending and Jesus' work is beginning. The next time we find Mary is as an interrupting Mary. At least I put that in your notes. The story is found in Mark chapter 3. At least the way Mark records it. It says, there came then his brethren and his mother. It's the family of Jesus. There's Mary and his half-brothers, his family, other children that Mary had. They're then standing without, they're on the outside, trying to get into this assembly where Jesus is. They sent unto him, unto Jesus, calling him. And the multitude sat about him, and they said to him, meaning to Jesus, behold, thy mother and thy brothers are outside seeking you. He answered, Jesus answered, saying, who is my mother or my brethren? And he looked round about on them which sat about him. You have the picture? Jesus' family, physical, blood, relative family, is on the outside of the assembly where he is. They send the message in, we're out here. The people that are there even tell Jesus, your family, your blood relative family is outside. Jesus answered them saying, who is my mother? Who is my brother? And he looked round about them which sat about him and said, behold my mother and my brethren. Perhaps even making a motion. Behold my mother and my brethren. And he's not pointing to the blood relatives outside the assembly. Then he says, for whosoever shall call upon the will of God, the same is my brother, sister, and mother. By the Lord's own admission, spiritual kinship is placed above family relationships. That precious blood of Jesus puts us into a more precious relationship than does our blood relationship with physical family. I wonder how Mary felt when she heard those words. I'm your Jesus, your birth mother, the other children out here. He doesn't say, come on in and let's give a round of applause to my birth mother. Number six in your notes. The next time we find Mary in Scripture. John chapter 19, you're familiar with this story too. Jesus is being crucified. And in John 19, verse 25, there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold thy son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold thy mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. The picture we have of Mary at the crucifixion of her son. Like all mothers, she shared the joys, but now she's sharing in the sorrow of her son. She knows that he was fathered from above. She does not try to stop the crucifixion and say, "Wait a minute, I'll tell you who the real father is," taking down. No, the mother knows. She knows her position or her lot in life, her chosen ministry, and a mother is allowing a son to go through with crucifixion. What mother could stand to do that, to allow her son to go through a pain like that? But Mary does, because she knows she was blessed by God to be the birth mother of Jesus, and he is going to accomplish his ministry too. At the foot of the cross, no doubt there's sorrow that cannot be expressed. But Jesus offers comfort to his mother by providing for her and gives her to the beloved apostle John. The last picture we have of Mary in Scripture is Mary praying with other disciples. The last picture. It's in Acts chapter 1, verse 14. It says, "These all," the 120, "these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, with his brethren." The last view we have of Mary in Scripture. There is no record of Jesus appearing to Mary after his resurrection. Isn't that interesting? You think after his resurrection, where's my mom? She may have been in the group, but we don't have any specific recording of Jesus going directly to her. It's not stated. Luke, the author of the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts, has Mary passing out of the Bible story in prayer with others in Jerusalem. Mary is not designated, I need to be very blunt about this so you get the lesson. Mary is not designated anywhere in Scripture, and neither at this time, as a queen of heaven. Mary is not mentioned in any letters to the churches by the Apostle Paul, Peter, John, or James. If Mary was to have any special prominence or significance in the church, Paul did not know about it. Neither did Peter, James, or John. And neither did Jesus, her son, in the book of Revelation, because Jesus, in giving the revelation to the angels, to John, to the churches, does not mention his mother at all. Getting the lesson? She is never described as reigning on a throne in the Bible. Mary is never described as sharing authority with Jesus. She is never described as sitting beside him to influence him. She is never pictured as others worshiping her. She is never pictured as others bowing down to her as the mother of God. There is no example, no command in the Bible to pray to her nor through her. The last mention of Mary in the not bowing down to her, lifting her up, or saying, Mary, do something special for us. Mary is pictured as one among the others. Mary is with the other women and the others in supplication and prayer. And that's the last picture we have of Mary in the Bible. A blessed woman among women. Very blessed. Chosen by God to fulfill prophecy. But in Luke chapter 11, I put this at the very bottom of your notes. In Luke 11, verse 27, I'll read the whole verse to you. It came to pass, as he, meaning Jesus, as Jesus spake these things, a certain woman of the company, those that were following Jesus, lifted up her voice and said to Jesus, Blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the breasts which thou didst suck. But Jesus said, Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. The instant response of Jesus is of the attitude of the importance of hearing God's word and keep it. From the Son of God's own mouth. Yes, Mary is blessed in being chosen by God, but yea, rather blessed. The greater blessing is for those who hear the word of God and keep it. Jesus does not deny his mother was blessed. But at the same time, he never intended that she be worshipped or venerated or lifted up. Remember, the Bible said Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's pretty good, but we don't lift up Noah. Abraham, and that was in Genesis 6, verse 8. Abraham in Romans 4, verse 16 is called the father of the faithful. That's a pretty good title, but we don't lift him up. Worship Abraham. David in Acts 13, verse 22 says, Bible says he's a man after God's own heart. Can't get much better than that. But we don't worship David. John the Baptist in Matthew 3, verse 13 was the forerunner of Jesus. But we don't venerate or lift up John the Baptist and worship him. Paul was God's selected minister to the Gentiles in Acts chapter 13, verses 2 and verse 46. But we don't lift up the Apostle Paul as an object of worship. Peter wanted to build three tabernacles to Moses and Elijah and Jesus in Matthew chapter 17, verses 4 and 5. God fixes that thought rather quickly. No, we don't. As great as Moses and Elijah were and had a special ministry, but we don't lift them up to a point of worship. Though they had a part in God's scheme of redemption, none are to be worshipped, and Mary would be included in that list of the faithful. That's the lesson this morning. Mary, the birth mother of Jesus. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. Maybe one here this morning that's not a member of the New Testament church. They've been baptized for remission of sins. We can accomplish that this morning. You've heard the good news that God so loved the world, that he sent a son. And you believe that message, number two. So you've heard the gospel message and you believe it. And then you're willing to repent of your sin. And then you're willing, because you're going to repent and turn around and follow God, I'm going to confess my faith, number four, that I believe that Jesus is God's Son. When those things are in place, you can do number five, be baptized for the remission of sins. And then that be born again. And from that point on, then you study to show yourself approved unto God. You grow in grace and knowledge as a newborn babe. The expectations are not great because you're new, just as a physical babe. But you begin to nurture and feed on the milk of the Word and grow. So that's the invitation we always extend. We sing a song to give you time to reflect on that resolution that you may want to make. So let's stand together and sing the song that says...